Manx Radio Sport.
Two minutes past five here on your nation station, Manx Radio AM, and this is Classified. Thank you for joining us. Lots to bring you within the next hour in football, rugby and hockey. Tony Meppham is going to join us. He is going to talk all things football, and we're going to catch up with Dave Christian to talk all things rugby. As well as that, it's been Cup weekend in hockey. Some big results to bring you in the Cup action. As well as that, Rob Pritchard will bring us team news ahead of FC Alamance game tonight at the Bowl, 6 o'clock kickoff. But first, as always, we'll bring you the classified results. And we are going to start in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Corinthians 1, St Mary's 0, Union Mills 2, St John's United 4, Braddon 3, Onchan 4, Foxdale 2, Laxey 9, Peel 7, Douglas High School and Old Boys 1, Rushing United 2, Ramsey 0, Arden and Druggan Division 2, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 1, Moran 1, Douglas and District 1, Douglas Royal 1, Colby 3, Paul Rhodes United 0, Canada Life Combination 1, St Mary's 0, Corinthians 6, St John's United 1, Union Mills 3, Onchan 6, Braddon 0, Laxey against Foxdale, match postponed, Douglas High School and Old Boys 1, Peel 12, Ramsey 2, Rushing United 1. In Arden and Druggan Combination 2, we are looking for the results from St George's against Jim's, Douglas Athletic against Malou, Moran against Moran against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Michael 2, Governors Athletic 4, Douglas Royal 5, Douglas and District 2. And then finally, Paul Rose United 6, Colby 3. In rugby, Regional 2 Northwest, Douglas 30, Northwich 21, Counties 3, ADM Lancs and Cheshire, Ramsey 24, Ormskirk 42, Vagabonds 27, Oral 33, Women's NC 2 North South, Crewe and Natwich 10, Vagabonds Ladies 51. In hockey, in the Mixed Cup, Backersby 0, Castletown Celts 6, Falkirk A 2, Harlequins A 1, Vikings A 0, Backers A 3, Vikings B 5, Castletown Southerners 2. In the Mixed Plate, Ramsey A 4, Valkyries C 4, Ramsey A winning on penalty flicks. Vikings C against Backers C, a late result. In the Mixed Bowl first round, Backers Mixed Colts 0, Castletown Camags 2. Harlequins C 1, Castletown Cosney 4. Valkyries D 2, Castletown Cushags 1. Ramsey Ravens 0, Vikings D 3. In Mixed Division 3, Backers Mixed Bucks 8, Castletown Carrick 0. And then in the under 15s, which are all late pushbacks, we have got Backers against Castletown Sharks, Harlequins against Castletown Savers, and Valkyries against Vikings. So that is your classified results. But first, we're going to kick off with athletics. It's been both a busy and important and impressive 2 weeks or so for the Isle of Man athletics community, both locally and further afield. Indeed, in the last 7 days, we have saw Manx competitors impress in the world stage in Chicago Marathon and the Manchester Half Marathon closer to home. So what is the key right now to some of the success stories we're seeing? We caught up with Dave Griffiths, our athletics correspondent.
Yeah, we've had some absolutely incredible performances from our athletes all over the world, really, in recent times. I think probably the standout one, not for the first time, making the headlines, is Krista Kane, who's just had the most phenomenal year in 2025, Triple Island Games gold medalist, and she just continues to go from strength to strength. And her latest amazing performance was in the Chicago Marathon last Sunday, where in a field of, I think it was something like 24,000 women, she finished 19th. She was the first British female to finish in that race, and she ran a time of 2 hours 35 minutes 31 seconds, which is a new record, beating her own record that she set in London earlier on this year. And just checking the current UK rankings, it puts her number 12 in the UK, but number 1 in the 35 to 39 age group.
Well, outside of Krista as well, there were others taking part in the race as well. Who impressed you?
Well, I think we had eight local competitors competing in Chicago. I haven't really had a time to do a great deal of analysis, but I think there were certainly personal bests or, you know, very good performances. And actually to have eight athletes from the Isle of Man competing in Chicago in itself is amazing, really. They've got the commitment to do that. We also had last Sunday, which was a really busy day, we had the Manchester Half Marathon, where there were quite a number of local athletes competing in that as well. And I think without doubt, the standout performance came from one of our Island Games half marathon competitors, Emily Milchreist, who beat her personal best time by something like 5 minutes, which is absolutely phenomenal. And she, a little bit like Krista, in that she's relatively new to running. I mean, Emily's actually more recent. She only started competing seriously about a year ago, and probably only started training seriously in the last few months with a structured training plan. Now, she ran a time of 1 hour 22 minutes 26 seconds in Manchester, which, having done a bit of research in the last few days, I reckon puts her in the top 10 on the all-time list of Isle of Man times for female runners for half marathons. And I think she's got a lot more improvement to come yet. So that's another fantastic performance by, like I say, a relatively new figure on the local scene.
And there were other standout performances. Another one was Corin Leeming, again, excelling over long distances as well. Inside the top 20 as well, overall.
Yeah, he was. He ran a time, I can't remember the exact time, but it was 65 minutes something, which is a personal best for Corin. And again, that puts him very high on the list of all-time, I think possibly number 4 on the all-time Isle of Man list as well. And he's another one who is impressing, not just on the Isle of Man, much further afield as well. And he's continuing to get better. He's still quite young, still early 20s, I think, Corin, and he will continue to get better as well.
And there were other competitors in the Manchester Half Marathon. If you want to take a look at the results that those other Isle of Man competitors got, those details available now on the Manx Radio website. On a more general note, when you consider the Chicago Marathon, the Manchester Half, and all the other events that have been coming over the last, particularly the last 1 or 2 years, why do you think, particularly at this time, we're seeing Isle of Man athletes excelling on the national, if you count UK in that bracket, and international stage at the moment?
Well, I think it's because we've got so many inspirational athletes on the Isle of Man scene, and we always have had, really. But I think at the moment, we're going through another golden era, really, where, I mean, we've talked about Krista, and she's obviously the inspirational figure at the moment. And I think people just look at athletes like her and think, well, if she can come into running at the age of about 35 or 36 with no previous background, she's obviously got a talent that she didn't realise she had. And if she can get to the level that she's at in a period of 2 or 3 years, then why can't other people do it? And I think people genuinely find that inspirational. And we've had so many other people as well. I know, sort of going back 15 years or so, Keith Gerrard, I think, lifted the whole standard of Manx athletics simply by proving that somebody from a small island, can reach Great Britain standard and high international standards. We've had a lot of others since then, and I think it is inspirational characters like them that have a lot to do with it.
Looking forward, I guess, what are the sort of things that we've got coming up in the next couple of weeks and months, maybe?
Certainly coming up on this coming Sunday, we've got the opening round of the local cross-country league. It's the first of 4 rounds, and this one is at Portishee Meadow, just on the outskirts of Douglas, near Quarterbridge. Entries have closed for that next weekend on the Sunday. We've actually got 2 events on the same day. We've got the first round of the Winter Walk League, which is at the NSC, and then on the same day we've got the first round of the Western AC Trail Series, which is based in Peel. And then looking a little bit further ahead, we've got the really big one on the 23rd of November, which is the Sidquirk Half Marathon. Again, entries have closed. We reached the 500 limit within a matter of hours, as we did last year, and that's going to be a phenomenal event as well.
Manx Radio Sport.
11 minutes past five. Let's talk all things football, and we'll say a very good evening to Tony Meppham. Let's have a look at Canada Life Men's Premier League and the first game. Top of the sheet, Corinthians 1, St Mary's 0.
Yeah, and didn't get much information coming through on this one, so it must have been a tight affair. St Mary's have played well of late, and when you look at that result they had recently, 4-0 against Ayr United, shows that they're in good form. But Corinthians have just sneaked it. I think it was Josh Ridings who got the goal, so thanks to Ed Walter who's just put it through to us. And yeah, nice and tight, but 3 points on the board. Remains top of the table for Corinthians, but Laxey are breathing down the neck, and Onken as well.
Absolutely. The game you were at, St John's United and Union Mills. Union Mills 2, St John's United 4. Sounded a right good game, this.
It wasn't bad at all, because I just sat down ready to get into the game, and suddenly Union Mills are ahead 1-0. Tyler Hughes didn't see the action, how it created, but I saw the finish, and well done to him. But then it wasn't long after when Liam Sale got the equaliser, 1-1 on 8 minutes. It was a good header crossing, and he finished it off really well. But, you know, Callum Taggart as well got his name on the score sheet. His was a header, a good crossing. I think it was, it was Andy who got it this time, Chadwick, and put it over. And Callum just headed it down to the ground and crossed over, and 2-1, and sort of things were going going quite well. Reece Oates got one as well, and it just sort of finished off a real good first half performance when Lewis Taylor got the fourth one. And it was one of them that's, you know, the ball sort of came over, and it sort of headed against the bar, came down, and Lewis was there in a good spot to sort of force it over the line more than anything. But, you know, 4-1 it was at half-time and into the second half. And there's no way that St John's could keep up the pace in that second period, because as much as Will Brown's done to make them close the opposition down and the fitness levels, it was so intense in that first 45 that second half couldn't sort of match. And it didn't really, to be fair. And Union Mills grew into the game, and it was 58 minutes when Dominic McCarry-Brennan made it 4-2. And it was a clever finish, I thought, for Dom, because he was caught in on that left-hand side, pulled it back, and curled it past round the keeper, James Rice, and that was it, 4-2. James Rice pulled off a really good save later on towards the end, where it could have been 4-3. But, you know, frustrations for Union Mills, but I think all the damage was definitely done in that first half. Congratulations to St John's. Good performance, good team. And with people like Paul Whitehead coming in the squad as well, makes them so much stronger, and I expect St John's to push up the league.
Absolutely. And the game that Rob was at, and this was some thriller to the end of this game, Braddon 3, Onken 4. Onken coming back and winning it by I don't know how many times. I mean, just what a season Onken are having so far.
Oh, it's incredible. And I don't know how the scoring went. I know Nick Valvey gave Braddon a lead, and I think Mikey Hutton made it 2-0 to Braddon. But then, you know, however it went, but it doesn't matter, because Onken held their nerve. The man of the match, no doubt about it, Tom Creer, he got a hat-trick for Onken. Josh Kenyatt got one as well. Nathan Robinson got, I think, the third one for Braddon. But well done to Braddon. Good performance against one of the top sides in the Premier League. And well done to Onken. Showed great character in bouncing back. And, you know, the way their results are going, been an incredible start to the season for them with 7 or 8 games played.
And there is something you have been saying off-air, and you have been saying it to Rob Pritchard now. Are you going to say it on air again?
Well, I don't want to tempt fate, because I hope they do get there. Because, you know, when you look at junior level, Onken are the standout club. They've done an amazing job from a short period of time to have the players coming through. A lot of these are homebred players as well, which is more impressive. So congratulations to the coaches for getting them through. But, yeah, I fancy them for the Railway Cup semi-finals. I really do, because when I watch them, against St Mary's, I think it was, I just thought, wow, that's a real organised team. And today, when I heard 2-0, well, maybe this is where it's going to start going wrong for them. But they got it right, and, you know, congratulations to them. And the pressure's on that top of that table with the rest of the teams around them.
Absolutely. And another team that are looking at that top there, Laxey, which we alluded to before, they got a 9-2 win over Foxdale.
Yeah, I don't think Laxey are panicking at the moment, because, you know, even though Corinthians top of the table, that certainly the goals today has helped the goal difference, but they've got a game in hand, and no doubt about it, the star for them at the moment is Ed Canna. He got another two goals today. Aaron Bradley got two, Tommy Kenny, Tom Smith, Adam Meelan, Joe Walters and Ethan Hawley scored from the penalty spot to make it Laxey 9, Foxdale 2, and it just shows you, you know, Foxdale find it really tough. Haven't got their goal scorers, but, you know, rooted at the bottom of the table. It's not nice and it's a big struggle for them.
Peel 7, Douglas High School and Old Boys 1.
Yeah, really good performance for Peel, getting back into their stride. And Jason Charmer, who sort of struggled with a little bit of an injury at the start of the season, showing how to go about it. And he scored 4 today. His strike partner, Thomas Brown, got 2 and Taylor Andrews got the other one. It was Zach Watterson who got the goal for Douglas High School Old Boys.
And Rushen 2, Ramsey 0.
We always knew this was going to be a close game, and you just had to just be patient on it. And 7 minutes from the end, it was Ashley Bake who scored. I'll guess it might have been a header because he is a centre-back, unless he wandered up and smacked one in. You never know. But Aaron Hawley made it 2 with a couple of minutes to go. So 2-0 to Rushen, and a good referee's performance. And well done, Calum. I remember Calum starting this referee's journey 2 or 3 years ago now, and he's loved it. He had a bit of an injury problem last year and had to sit out most of the season, but today his first Premiership game and did it in real style. You know, I think the referees sort of organisation appointments wise is going absolutely spot on the way they're doing it, because normally people like Callum Rabian will come to Adam Hutchin as well, because I thought he refereed outstandingly well today, Union Mills against St John's, because you normally it's quite difficult, sorry Ryan, but he's quite a vocal manager, Union Mills manager, and he was kept relatively quiet today, and there was no speaking to him by Adam Hutchin. But there's two new referees who've been in the system probably about Hudgie's about 2 years now, and Calum's about 3, and being given the opportunity to put in the performance like they have in the Premiership is great to see, and it bodes well for the future.
Absolutely. Arden and Drugan Division 2, first one here, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 1, Moran 1.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a story to this one as well, because you know, Ramsey Youth Centre and Moran had a player sent off, and let me just see if I can find a bit of a match report. And thanks to Paul Turner once again for going to the trouble of this one. And Ramsey Youth Centre against Moran, both teams pushed in the first half, but neither could find the back of the net, with both going in at half time at 0-0 into the second half. And on 47 minutes, Moran got awarded a penalty. Upstairs Carl Hartman, who calmly converted it into the bottom right corner. Then 1 minute later, Moran went down to 10 men, with Lewis Brew getting a straight red card to go with his yellow in the first half. But even with that extra man, no matter how much they huffed and puffed and thought they'd scored on the 60th minute, but Moran's keeper Harry Horbury made a sublime save on the line then on 78. Youthy also went down to 10 men, with Tom Hall being showed the red card, and gave Moran they could go and put the game to bed, and they tried to for another goal, but that wasn't to be. On the 87th minute, Youthy got awarded a penalty for a handball in the box. Up steps Leighton Ballard to power the ball into the right corner, and that's how the game finished, with both teams sharing the points and both teams down to 10 players. So well done to Leighton Ballard, scored the Youthy one, and Carl Hartman for Moran. 1-1 it finished.
And another 1-1 draw in this division, and that was between Douglas and District and Douglas and Royal.
Yeah, and this I think is a great result here for D&D, because you know, D&D have had a tough time, and we got a little report on this one as well, but 0-0 it was at half time, and it was heartbreak as D&D will take the lead on the 94th minute with Radcliffe's first of the season, only for Royals to go up straight the other end of the pitch and scored. Great equaliser, 1 point better than none, but so close to a win and a clean sheet. So congratulations to D&D. They really have found it difficult. Don't know who scored the goal for Douglas Royal, but points are shared in that game.
Yeah, nothing come through here on my side there. So if you do know that goal scorer, 166177 on text and WhatsApp, and we'll give them a shout out. Colby 3, Paul Road United 0.
And, you know, Colby's showing now that they're going to mean business, pushing Castletown in this Division 2. And it went nicely for them at the start. Ollie Edge, well done, Ollie, scored the goal straight from the corner. So be living on that one for a long time. Nick Clegg got the second one and Greg Radcliffe got the third. So, you know, Paul Rose pressing at the top of the table, but Colby remained second with that 3-0 win.
Canada Life combination 1, St Mary's 0, Corinthians 6.
Yeah, good performance by Corinthians. And Oscar Watterson started today. He got a couple of goals. Caleb Hugill got one as well. Kane Ryden's on the score sheet. Noah Vowles getting one in the combination today. And Archie Walter, who must be one of the club's top goal scorers in the combination, he's scoring a few little single goals. I think he scored a double a couple of weeks ago, but good result and 3 points for Corinthians.
Now, this is a score that we read out wrong at the start of the show. We had it as St John's 1, Union Mills 3. That's been corrected. It was actually St John's 5, Union Mills 3.
Yeah, I don't think you've got the goal scorers there, Ben, have you, for St John's? I don't think we got them.
I think I do. Just
good.
Bear with
if you could rattle them off. I'll give you Union Mills while you have a look. Union Mills 3, we've got Costa Lease and an own goal. So whether Costa got 2 or there's another goal scorer, we're not too sure, but St John's, hopefully you've got the goal scorers.
I do indeed. Pedro with 3, Costa and Lise with 1, and an own goal.
So Pedro Cardoza with a hat-trick there, and he's quick. He's very, very fit, one of the top trainers at St John's, and scoring a hat-trick today.
And then Onken 6, Braddon 0.
And it was Jake Gartland got one, Tom Lancaster's name's on the score sheet, Sam Cubbin as well, Tyler Deitcher with another goal, well done Tyler, Luke Callister and Jackson Gatt, so a cracking result that for Onken against Braddon.
Laxey against Foxdale was postponed.
Foxdale couldn't field the team.
Okay, and the next one we've got is Peel 12, Douglas High School and Old Boys 1.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one that, isn't it? Because when you look at Old Boys, only a couple of weeks ago that they scored 10 in a game, but today couldn't get it going. We haven't got an Old Boys scorer, but for Peel, wow, 7 goals for Aaron Castain. Well done, Aaron. Toby Little got a couple of goals. Ben Surgeon got 2. And I think one of Aaron's goals was a penalty. And Alfie Smith, well done, Alfie, your debut game today. And you got a goal as well. So it's always nice to start your senior football career with a goal.
Absolutely. And what a close game this sounds. Ramsey 2, Rushing United 1.
Yeah, and the two teams at the top of Combination 1. And again, it was going to be a close game. I thought Rushing might just pinch it. But Ramsey made it hard for themselves because they actually scored Rushing's goal. But it was Austin Hart who got one of the goals. Not too sure who got the other for Ramsey. And he scored on the 90th minute. So I would say that's probably the winner. And I think Peter Lewis refereed it. I've got a note here. And he was excellent. When you look at Peter, he's 81 years of age. So there's time for you yet, Ben.
That's one way of putting it. Absolutely. Let's have a look at Arden and Drugan combination 2. The first game we were looking for the results, St George's against Jim's. Have you got that?
No, afraid not.
Okay. Douglas Athletic against Maloo. Have you got that one?
I haven't got that one either, sorry.
Maroun against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys?
Got that one. It was Maroun 0, Ramsey Youth Centre 10. And I think the problem was Keith Lithgow was having so much time typing all them scorers out to us because it was even Johnston with 2 of them. Jamie Brew got 2 as well. Aaron Broad got a couple of goals. But then I think it's Keith's son, Will Lithgow. He got one. Carl Walford, is it, got one. And Dylan Parrish. And there was an own goal as well. So, yeah, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys keeping pressure on Pulley at the top of the table. But Paul Rose did win. So it's Paul Rose who still remained top of that combination too.
And, of course, we are looking for St George's against Jim's and Douglas Athletic against Maloo in Arden and Drugan combination 2. If you know them scores, 166177 on text and WhatsApp. And we will give them a shout-out. Michael 2, Governors Athletic 4.
Good day in the office for Governors Athletic. And George Corran, he got 2 of the goals for Governors. William Mathers got 1 and James Sharp got the other one. So good result and good 3 points.
Douglas Royal 5, Douglas and District 2.
Hat-trick hero Connor Dempsey, he got the hat-trick with Kevin Ballard, it was, who got 2. So 2 goal scorers, 5 goals. Shane McCormick, it was, with 2 of the goals for Douglas and District. And one was a 20-yard free kick, so well done, Shane. Cracking goal in there, and Douglas and District pushed Douglas Royal, really hard.
And then the final fixture, Paul Rose United 6, Colby 3.
Haven't got Paul Rose as goal scorers, but for Colby, it was James Fitzgerald with 1. Kieran Smith got his name on the score sheet and Ryan Archibald got the other.
So that concludes our fixtures on Ireland. Of course, looking ahead to this evening, of course, FC Isle of Man hosting FC St Helens. How do you see that one going? Of course, they got that win midweek.
At the weekend, midweek, which probably helped Rick Holden, to be fair. But I think the problem was certainly is scoring goals. And Charlie Higgins is the one that seems to be getting most of them. So we'll see how it goes tonight. It's going to be a little bit harder because when you look at FC St Helens, where they are on the league table, they are a good side, as were, you know, last week when they played the bottom side. OK, they got the result that they needed. But I think Rick Holden's now starting to get the team to play like he wants them to play. And his squad will wait and hear from Rob in a minute to see what the team news is. But one or two players being brought back in, which hopefully will do the business.
Well, Rob just hasn't got team news just yet. So just for now, Tony, thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sport.
28 minutes past five, and I'm going to have to cue some music to bring in our rugby correspondent. Where are you? There you are. Dave Christian. All the way from Vegas. Good evening, Dave Christian.
Good evening, Ben. Or it's not good evening. It's the 9:28. I've been up since 6 o'clock monitoring results and score updates as they've been coming through. So even when you're on holiday, nothing really stops. And luckily, I was in bed nice and early last night, so everything's good.
Dedication.
It is. We've had a great day today, particularly if you're a supporter of Douglas Rugby Club. They have beaten close rivals Northwich 30 points to 21 at Portishead. Douglas, 5-6 tries, I think, in that lot. And Northwich didn't score 4 tries and didn't finish within 7. Now, these teams are going to be tight at the top of the table come the end of the season. And that's going to mean that Northwich don't pick up a bonus point. Douglas are now gone ahead of them in the standings. And there's been an upset at the top as well. North Ribblesdale, who were in second place, they've lost away at Widnes this afternoon. So things a little bit in turmoil at the top of the table in Regional 2 Northwest. Douglas, however, have moved up into currently fourth place, although we are still waiting for a couple of results to come in. With 3 o'clock kickoffs, it's always a little bit tricky at this time of the season. But Douglas up to fourth at the moment, and they have a game in hand. They win that game in hand with maximum points. They're in second place. And I'm going to whisper now because it's a little bit too early to start thinking about promotion. But they're looking like they might be pretty close this season. Can't say for sure. Never know in these things. But they're there and thereabouts. This afternoon, the Martin twins, Craig and Kyle, both went in for tries for Douglas. The other tries came from Josh Duncan, Matty Wood and Nathan Robson. And Wood also added a penalty and a conversion. So great stuff for Douglas. In Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, not so good news for Ramsey and Vagabonds. Both sides remain winless. And they both recorded home defeats this afternoon. Vagas lost narrowly 33-27 to Oral, while Ramsey went down 42-24 to Ormskirk at the Mirrick Park. For Vagabonds today, skipper Dan Bonwick bagged 2 tries. There were supporting scores from Dave Keenan, Theo Head, Nathan Wiley and Cam Finley weighed in with a conversion. This gives Vagabonds today, though, 2 bonus points. They scored 4 or more tries and finished within 7 points of Oral. So Vagabonds now on 3 championship points. Not so good news for Ramsey. They only picked up 1 bonus point this afternoon. They shipped a lot of early points in this game, and I'm only going to guess that the potential wind affected at the Mirrick Park. But they trailed 30 points to 5 at halftime, and the only consolation for them was a try from Harvey Collister. Things got better after the break, and tries came in for Ramsey from Kyle Schneer, Braden Roach, and there was a Tom Moffat conversion as well. However, Ormskirk added another 2. And with what they'd racked up in the first half, it was just too big an obstacle for Ramsey to overcome. They did pick up a very late try through Adam Dempsey. That was converted by Tom Moffat, and that clinched them the try bonus point. So encouraging performances from Ramsey and Vagabonds, but they're still labouring a little bit at the bottom of Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. Vagabonds Ladies, however, they were on the road at Crewe. It was game number two for Vagabonds Ladies. Remember, they shipped a big loss to Sale 1861, second team, in their opening game of the season. Vagabonds felt, I'm not going to say hard done to, that's perhaps makes it sound like there's a chip on the shoulder there. There is no such chip, but they felt it wasn't quite right. Sale turned up with 13 players, and under the RFU game regulations, they played 10 aside. Sale were much better suited to the 10 aside game and racked up quite a big score. However, since then, results have shown that Sale are the team to beat this season, and it doesn't matter whether they're playing with 10 or 15. So that's why I don't think there's any sort of problem there at Vagabonds. But today, there was no problems for them at all. 51-10 away at Crewe. And their flyer, Freya Crowe, she got two in that game against Sale. There was a brace today for Meg Kerwin, and also tries from Leona McGovern, Becky Dunn and Rosina McNair. Three conversions from skipper Sammy McDonald. They'll be flying or boating home later on tonight and will be very happy, I would think, with that result. And in the final match of the day, it wasn't one that was advertised, mainly because Southern Nomads didn't tell me they were playing. They were away in a friendly at the team called the Lim Reapers. That's a little bit of a play on words, I suspect, but Lim up there in National Leagues for the first team. I think the Reapers are maybe their thirds. But it was a friendly fixture. Nomads won 50 points to 31. There was a hat trick for George Collister. Tony Quinn ran in two. And there were also tries from Ewan Chapman, Tom Collister and Mark Young. Young also added three conversions and Zach Hand kicked two himself. And that concludes the rugby for this week. We've got a full programme next week and everything will be back to normal.
Brilliant. Dave Christian, we'll let you get back to your holiday. Thank you very much. We'll speak to you next week.
Manx Radio Sport.
26 minutes to 6 here on Classifieds. Let's head on down to the bowl and get team news, which is in with Rob Pritchard. A very good evening, Rob Pritchard.
Very good evening, Ben, and to our listeners on Manx Radio AM 1368. Welcome back to the Bowl Stadium in Douglas ahead of this latest NWCFL Premier Division encounter for the Ravens. And this week, FC St Helens are the visitors. We can indeed bring you team news now. We'll start with FC Isle of Man. They make two changes from that important 3-1 win away at Lidl and Remaker 7 days ago. Dropping out this week are Dean Pinnington and Lucas Watterson. And coming in this time are Joe Middleton and Michael Williams. Middleton comes straight into the starting 11 while Williams starts from the bench. And then for FC St Helens, the changes, they have four changes in fact, but they have two fewer members of the squad, which we'll come to in a moment. The big changes for FC St Helens, it comes in goal. Jake Hilton drops out and Joe Mason will be playing between the sticks tonight. The other main changes, Toby Humphreys comes into the squad but starts from the bench. Others dropping out are Nathan Carnell, Jack Ball and James Flight. So the FC Isle of Man starting 11 is as follows. In goal is Mark Blair, and then it's Callum Sherry, Sam Baines, Sam Gelling, Captain Alex Maitland, Carl Clark, Steve Whitley, João Marquez, Joe Middleton, Luke Booth and Charlie Higgins. Substitutes for FC Isle of Man are Michael Williams, Ben Wasser, Danny Gerrard, Josh Kane and Adam Killier. And for the visitors, FC St Helens, in goal is Joe Mason, and then it's Ogonero Orunomare, then it's Jamie Whittaker, Michael Ibeto, Christopher Hill, Liam Cuthbert, Ryan Sinnott, the captain Thomas McNamara, Harry Scarborough, James Murphy and Mackenzie O'Neill. Just the three substitutes available for FC St Helens tonight, and they are Toby Humphreys, Joseph Barrett and Thomas Scarborough. Your referee this evening is Scott Dowell, and his assistants are Sam Palmer and Matty Shaw. Well, after what's been a rather well-documented, challenging season so far for the Ravens, they did get themselves something to cheer about last weekend against fellow strugglers Lidl and Remaker. Two goals from Charlie Higgins and a long-range strike from João Marquez, handing them three goals and indeed 3 points on Merseyside last weekend to give caretaker manager Rick Holden his first win in charge of the side. Now, going into this evening, they'll be looking to try and target something they haven't achieved this season, and that is back-to-back victories. But it's hard to tell against an FC St Helens side that have looked strong and have looked positive since their promotion to this division season before last. They've had a bit of an up and down season so far in terms of results. They're going steadily in terms of league standings in ninth and winning half of the 14 games that they have played so far. However, they are winless in their last three so far in all competitions. So no doubt Mike Smith will be wanting to see his team get back to winning ways here at the Bowl against an FC Isle of Man team whose 42 goals conceded so far remains the unwanted record of the leakiest defence in the league to date. So for FC Isle of Man, looking to try and target more positivity and hopefully from their perspective at least, maximum points in front of a home crowd. Meanwhile, FC St Helens, whose away form has actually been better than their home form in all competitions so far this season, looking to continue that good trend on the road and try and upset the odds here. And just one final stat to bring you as well of between these two sides. The first two meetings between these two teams last season were filled with goals. In fact, there were 14 goals between the two sides in the two games they played last season. If that's a sign of things to come, well, we could be in for a treat this evening. We'll just have to wait and see. FC Isle of Man versus FC St Helens kickoff at 6 p.m. here at the Bowl, and we at Manx Radio have got you covered. Full live match commentary from myself and Darren Timpson on Manx Radio AM 1368 from just before 6 o'clock.
Rob, thank you very much. How is the atmosphere building up down there? I mean, we can hear the music playing in the background, but how is that atmosphere?
Yeah, you can certainly hear the music. Actually, one of the biggest notable things is actually the weather conditions, because it's actually been fairly mild across the island today, as I'm sure Tony Meppham knew when he was out and about and when I was out and about watching the Isle of Man footballing action as well. But just as the lights have started to fade, it's got a little bit cooler, and that wind seems to have picked up a little bit here at the Bowl as well. Will it be a factor going forward? Hard to tell at this point. I think particularly if the gusts start to increase, that might be a bit of a factor in the game to come, but it is, like I say, hard to tell at this point. But the light's certainly fading. I think it's a definite sign that we're heading into the Manx winter in the coming months here. But I imagine from FC Isle of Man supporters' perspective, they'll still be feeling positive after that result last weekend. But this is a different kettle of fish. This is not a struggling side in the division. This is a side that if they were to pick up 3 points today, FC St Helens could still be knocking on the door of the top five or six spots going into the next few weeks. So they've got plenty of incentive as well.
Absolutely. And one name that you said there in the starting lineup, Rob, Joe Middleton. We're just going to go on to hockey after we've finished with yourself. But Joe Middleton was playing in goal this morning. So from hockey to football.
Indeed it is. Well, there's a similar story with that as well. So a bit of a change in, well, actually a change in sport there for Joe Middleton, as you say. But actually when I was chatting with Tony the other week as well, we do have a similar case in the Isle of Man leagues going on, because a name that might be familiar to some, James Rice, made his name in goal for Ramsey and then afterwards for a spell at FC Isle of Man. He's now actually playing outfield at St John's United for the most part. I think Tony did actually mention he did play between the sticks today. I'm not quite sure. I'd need to get confirmation on that. But seems to be there are a couple of players out there that are maybe jacks of all trades, if you like.
Absolutely, Rob. You go and keep warm, and we'll catch up with you after 6 o'clock. But for now, Rob Pritchard, thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sport.
And finally, at 21 minutes to 6, we are going to look at hockey. And this weekend, league action has took a break and we have had the cup action taking place. Let's have a look in the Mixed Cup first. And in the 12:30 kickoff between Backersby and Castletown Celts, Castletown Celts came out on top with a 6-0 win over Backersby. Robbie Villerga with 2, Evie Watson with 2, George Powell with 1, and Hannah Lees with 1, meaning Castletown Celt would progress on to the next round. But who would they face? Valkyries A got the better of Harlequins A for the second week in a row by the same scoreline than they did last week in the league. Valkyries take the win by 2-1. George Radcliffe for Harlequins A, and the two goal scorers for Valkyries A were Thomas Tissos and Maxine Jones. Vikings A 0, Backers A 3. Callum Robb, Jamie Brown and Andy Whiting for Backers A, keeping Backers A's 100% record going this season. They still remain undefeated both in the league and now in the cup. It's a shame to see Vikings A unfortunately dropping out at the first round. Finally, Vikings B got the better of Castletown Southerners. They won by 5-2 over Castletown Southerners. Danny Murphy, Jess Birch, Jasmine Harden, Ollie Nandu and Josh Knighting for Vikings B. For Castletown Southerners, it was Andrew Wiggle and Lucy Allen, meaning the next round in the cup will be Backers A v Valkyries A and Castletown Celts v Vikings B. In the mixed plate, what a thriller of a game we had at QE2 at 12:30. Valkyrie C 4-0 up going into this at halftime, and Ramsey A coming back to make it 4-all at full time, with Ramsey A taking the win on penalty flicks. Oliver Brew, Sophia Crossgrave, Edward Fields and Alfie Mellon for Ramsey A, scoring the four goals in normal time. And Valkyrie's C goal scorers were Chris Thomas with three and Iona Cowell with one in normal time. Vikings C against Backers C was the other fixture in this competition in the plate, and that was a 5-1 win to Backers C. No goal scorer in at the moment for Vikings C, but for Backers C, Will Wiseman, Craig Lees and Alex Stewart with a hat-trick all on the scoreline, meaning the next round in the mixed plate is going to be Ramsey A v Backers C and Valkyrie's B against Harlequins B, both Valkyrie's B and Harlequins B getting byes into this round. In the mixed bowl, first game of the day was at 11 o'clock, and that was between Backers Mixed Colts and Castletown Camags. These teams meeting for the second time this week. Of course, they had a rearranged fixture midweek, which ended 2-0. And again today, it ended 2-0 to Castletown Camags. Fern Bagatzi with both goals, giving Camags that victory today over Backers Colts. Harlequin C1, Castletown Cosney 4. Finn Sampson with three goals and Katie Osborne with one for Castletown Cosney. And then Ben Cunningham, I don't know who he is, on the score sheet for Harlequin C, giving Castletown Cosney that onwards journey into the next round in the bowl. Cup upset definitely in the bowl. Valkyrie's D of Division 3 beating Castletown Cushags by 2-1. Castletown Cushags a league above Valkyrie's D, and Valkyrie's D showing even though they might be a division below, they can still fight with the higher teams. Johnny Kane and Mark Perryman for Valkyrie's D, with Kieran Collister on the score sheet for Cushags. Final fixture in the mixed bowl was between Ramsey Ravens and Vikings D. That was a 3-0 win to Vikings D. Danny Kane with two and Chris Hayes with one, giving Vikings D that victory, meaning our next round in the mixed bowl is going to be Vikings D against Valkyrie's D, and we have a Castletown derby between Castletown Camags and Castletown Cosney. There was one rearranged fixture today in league action, and that was in Mixed Division 3 between Backers Mixed Bucks and Castletown Carracks. These two teams not taking part in any of the cup action, and that was an 8-0 win to Backers Mixed Bucks. Ryan Cartwright with three, Sam Franklin with one, Dave Partings with two, Gracie Evans with one, and Cal Joyce with one for Backers Mixed Bucks. Elsewhere in the mix under 15s, these were all late pushbacks. Backers against Castletown Sharks was an 18-1 win for Backers. Carter Whitehead with six, Gene Veers with five, Zach Moore with two, Eben Moore with one, and Ben White with one. We are missing the Castletown Sharks goal scorer. If you have that for us, 166177 on text and WhatsApp. Elsewhere, Harlequins 2, Castletown Savers 2, Sam Netto and Callum Lees with one each for Harlequins, and then for Castletown Savers, it was Barnaby Vivian and Christopher Crompton Harvey. And the final fixture in the under-15s league was Valkyries against Vikings, and that was an 8-1 win to Valkyries. We don't have the Vikings goal scorer. Ryan Thomas with three, Harry Lewis with two, Bonnie Eelson with one, Ria Maher with one, and Oliver Ryder-Clegg with one.
Manx Radio Sport.
So that just about concludes things here on Classifieds, but as always, we are going to leave you with today's headlines. In Canada Life Men's Premier League, wins for Corinthians, St John's, Laxey, Peel, Rushen and Onken getting a 4-3 win over Braddon. Arden and Drugan Division 1's draws for Ramsey Youth Centre, Maroun, Douglas and District and Royal, and Colby getting the better of Paul Rhodes by 3-0. Canada Life Combination 1 wins for Corinthians, St John's, Onken, also wins for Peel and Ramsey. Arden and Drugan Combination 2 wins for Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, Governess Athletic and Douglas and Royal, with Paul Rhodes United getting 6 past Colby. We are still looking for St George's against Jim's and Douglas Athletic against Maloo. If you know them scores, 166 177 on text and WhatsApp. In rugby, Regional 2 North West, Douglas get the better of Northwich. They win by 30 points to 21. Elsewhere in Counties 3, ADM Langton Cheshire, Ramsey and Vagabonds both lose at home. Elsewhere in the women's, NC2 North South, Vagabonds get a great win over Crewe and Nabwich. They win by 51 points to 10. In the mixed cup in hockey, Castletown Celts, Valkyries A, Backers A and Vikings B all progress to the next round. In the mixed plate, Ramsey A get the better of Valkyries C on flicks and Backers C progress as well. Mixed bowl, Castletown Camags, Castletown Cosney, Valkyries D and Vikings D progress to the next round. In the under-15s, wins for Backers, Valkyries and Harlequins and Castletown Savers ending 2-2. And in that rearranged fixture, Backers Mixed Bucks 8, Castletown Carrick in Division 3. And that concludes Full Time and Classified here on Manx Radio AM. Thank you as always for your company. big thank you as well from Tony Meppam and Dave Christian, as always, for their company and their analysis. They'll return next week with Rob Pritchard in the chair here for full time next week. But before that, we are going to head down to the bowl for FC Alaman against FC St Helens. Can FC Alaman get their second win under caretaker manager Rick Holden? Come on, you Ravens. Your commentary team for FC Alaman against FC St Helens is Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson. I will speak to you all again very soon. Good evening.
Manx Radio Sport.